waddling the apple of the earth. He pecks and steps and pecks and cocks his head. A small black radar set to hear faint echoes of a primal bang, the bubbling of quantum foam, the rising of a movement in the worm. He blocks his own thoughts first, then blocks the thoughts of men and animals and birds, all living things. And then the high-low whistle of the train, revving cars, distant thoughts, small stone memories. His yellow eye is falling in a trance. His breath, a frozen snowflake in the air, waits and hangs in space. And then he hears the movement of the worm. He steps and pecks and stops and pecks again. He beats a crowbeak, crowfeet, strange rain dance to call the worm, and when it comes, remembers his mistake. This time, he does not peck the worm in two, the woman and the man. This time, he seeks no knowledge from the worm. Nothing is created from this call, except a hole that crow can look into. Except a large wormhole, a hole that fits his eye, his yellow eye, that stares through space and time, that rides the surfboard of an ancient foam, a yellow staring eye that learns the secrets of some far-off place and brings them back. He holds the watcher with his staring eye. His pupil opens up a large black hole that sucks my senses in to see those far-off things, to share the numbing sorrow of his watch. He pecks the frozen field of feathered ground, a car park covered in an angel's frost and iron stone. We wonder why the wormhole starts to eat as knowledge of a crow eats us alive. We wonder why the wormhole starts to eat.